Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. This is Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm your host, the Iceman, Jeff Trenopole. And as always, I'm bringing you sports from a West Side point of view right here in the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio, home of the Cincinnati Bengals. And we're south of the Blue Jackets. I'm wearing Blue Jackets stuff today because they won last night. They scored goals. I'm very, very excited about that. It's a lot easier to win hockey games when you score. Now, do me a favor. If you found the show, hit that like and subscribe button. Smash that thumbs up. I am up to 848 subscribers. And as always, I appreciate every single one of you. Now, this show and every show is brought to you by T Properties. T Properties, quality housing for quality people. Check out their website at www.tpropertiesllc.com for all your rental property management needs and your rental needs. All right, guys, the title of the show, breaking news. Well, sort of breaking news. It's nothing big. The Bengals signed not one, but two free agents today. Two of their own. They signed, the Bengals signed long snapper Chris Harris to a one-year contract extension. Now, Harris has spent 12 of 13 seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, this is kind of interesting. I didn't know this about him. Entering the 2021 season, Clark Harris is only one game shy of Anthony Munoz's games played of 185, which is sixth most in team history. So that's pretty good. I mean, he's 37 years old, I think. He's talking about playing until he's like 40. He's a long snapper. He had a funny comment. He goes, I don't really have too many skill sets, so especially ones that are pay me $1 million a year. So if I were him, I'd snap as long as I could. Now, the Bengals also re-signed Jalen Davis. He was a practice squad guy. He came to the Bengals midway through the season. He actually got in six games and recorded four tackles. So, yeah, Harris, you're right, Tommy. Harris is going to be a national landmark in Cincinnati. Exactly. Big day in Bengaldom for our free agency. But one thing I do want to get to that I've heard a lot of NFL insiders say that there is going to be some big names released next week from other NFL teams. This is good for the Bengals because we are, fourth, with the most salary cap space. So the Bengals they could do some stuff. I know me and Jeremy and when Tommy comes on the show, we talked about this a lot. They can do some stuff. Now, one guy that got released yesterday, Cincinnati's own elder boy, tight end Kyle Rudolph, was released by Minnesota yesterday. Now, Tommy actually put the poll up on Who Dey Nation, and then I shared it on Sports Strawberry Ice. Now, the poll question was, should the Cincinnati Bengals sign veteran tight end Kyle Rudolph? And it's actually a little closer than I thought it was going to be, but we got 184 votes saying yes and 112 saying no. Now, me, I voted yes. I know he's older, but he's still a pretty solid tight end. And I don't think we need – well, I don't think he's going to break the bank to sign him. I mean, there might be a guy that's going to be out there for a little while that we could sign later on, you know, like past June 1st. That June 1st, you can get him a lot cheaper. So that is an option because the Bengals do need to address the tight end situation somewhat. I mean, you only got two. I mean, me and Jeremy said it on here a million times. We are good with Uzama being our every down tight end. But Drew Sample stepped up, played really well. And if you get Kyle Rudolph in there, get him in the red zone, get another weapon. That's the thing. I want Joe Burrow to get more weapons. More and more weapons for Joe Burrow, the better, especially offensive linemen. Now, got another question for you. Another guy got released yesterday, and I'm kind of curious if the Bengals, or what you guys think if the Bengals should go after him. It is linebacker Kyle Van Noy. Now, he got released. He played, I think, with Miami last year. His 2020 stats. Combined for 69 tackles, 23 assists, and 6 sacks. Now, that's not much far, or that's not far from his 2019 stats. He had 56 combined tackles, 15 assists, and 6.5 sacks. So he hasn't dropped off much, but it is an option for the Bengals to try and go after. We don't necessarily need to really go after linebackers. I mean, I would like them to re-sign Josh Bynes. That is a, and he was on NFL Network today. I'll get to that in a minute. Nick, what's up, brother? Rudolph was great, but he hasn't been that productive in the last 3 years. Not a great run blocker. Any only really red zone threat. Yeah, all depends on how much does he cost. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. I don't want to spend a ton of money on him. I think he would be a good red zone option. That's pretty much word for word what I was saying. So I think it's something worth kicking the tires on, because the more red zone weapons that Joe freaking Burrow has, the better. So, and that's one thing. James Rapine came on here and said that, you know, Burrow needs more weapons, and I agree with him. He does need more weapons. We got to fix the offensive line first. We've all talked about that a million times, but they got to get more people. And the thing is, there's going to be options out there. There's going to be a lot of guys that get released, because there's a lot of teams that are right at the salary cap, and the Bengals are in a perfect spot to swoop up and get them. I don't know what the names are. We'll find out next week, but it's going to be very interesting, which I make it a lot easier to do this show. all right, Crown. I'll get the Hunter Green in here in a second. I want to get one more thing about the Bengals, and then we can jump into the Reds. All right, Nick, what do you got here? Hold on a second. Bring you up. Vannoy could fit into the scheme for Lou, who loves dropping edge defenders. Yes, exactly. I know. Armadillo drives me nuts. I brought this up with Tommy yesterday, that I'm not really, I think the Bengals should just not saying they should forget about the defense, but they should really go heavy on the offensive side of the ball, because I don't trust Armadillo. I don't think he knows what he's doing. So anyway, it's just options. They're going to do stuff. They got to get an edge rusher. They got to try to shore up some of the positions. So they will be doing something. I guarantee you that. Tommy, Bengals were 30th in red zone touchdowns, so Rudolph would help there, but I would pass if he's close to $7.3 million salary. Yeah, that's where I'm thinking. I have a feeling that him and Eifert might be there after June. And after June, the salaries drop. So it's an option. I'm not saying run out and go get him now at all, but it is an option that they should keep in mind. Because like I said, they have to upgrade the tight end position. We only got two guys. They need, and I'm not saying a number one guy, but they need to go upgrade and get a third guy. Like I said, if he could be a big red zone threat like Eifert, that's exactly what I'd say Eifert to be. I bring him in just for a red zone threat. Rudolph, same thing. I think personally, Rudolph can play a little bit more than Eifert can right now, because Eifert's just had so many injuries, and Rudolph is a big dude, so he's bigger and more durable than Eifert has ever been. Now, Josh Bynes, he was on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network and had some very interesting things to say about Joe freaking Burrow. Give me one second here. I want to bring this graphic up. Let's see. Oh, I always do this. It's up. Here it is. I'm going to bring this up for you. Okay. Now, quoting Bynes, I can honestly see Joe, now I'm going to add freaking Burrow, being an MVP one day in this league. Joe is just fantastic. And I think he brings something different to this game. He's poised, he's confident, and he wants to get better each and every day. I just can't wait to see the future for him. And I think Joe is all in. So those are great comments. I mean, we get nothing but good comments. And the thing is, Josh Bynes doesn't have to say that, because he's a free agent. He might not be back here next year. Now, he said he wants to come back here next year. But it's a good it's just nice to hear what everybody's saying about Joe freaking Burrow. They're saying the same thing that we've all been saying. Nick, all right. Let's see here. Get back to the Rudolph discussion. Red zone threat has been productive recently. Jared Koch just got released today by the Saints. Yeah, that one just happened earlier today, right before I went in. So yeah, there's gonna be, like I said, there is going to be a lot of big names that are coming, especially next week. That's from what I'm hearing from my sources, which my sources are the radio and NFL Network and friends of mine who send me stuff. But that's what I'm hearing, that there are going to be multiple names that are going to be out there that you're going to be shocked to see. And then that might be why J.J. Watt signed as quickly as he did. He wanted to hurry up and get the money because there might not be as much money out there for veteran guys as there has been. So it's just going to be a very interesting week, a very exciting time, especially being a Bengals fan. Because, like I said, for once, I really do believe that the Bengals are going to spend a lot of money. Now, are they going to spend over the cap? No. Are they going to spend really close to the cap? I hope so. You know, those are things that, as fans, we want the Bengals to do because we want them to get better. We want them to compete for championships. Like I said, we got Joe freaking Burrow. Fix that offensive line, get some edge rushers, and hopefully Armadillo doesn't screw it up. We might be pretty good. All right, a Crown said he wanted to talk about Hunter Green. So we can do that. We can get back into the Bengals conversation, too, if you guys want. Just the live video chat is up at the top of the YouTube channel. So you guys can join that if you have something interesting you would like to discuss. I'll put it right here in the regular chat again so you can link on it there. But Hunter Green pitched last night as the Reds won 7-5. Now, everybody freaking out that the Reds hadn't won anything yet, you know. They can calm down. They scored. They won. Hunter Green hit over 100 miles an hour very, very consistently, which is great. He couldn't control the ball, which is bad. So he gave up a three-run home run to Iglesias, former Red. And it wasn't a very good outing. I mean, he looked healthy. His arm's healthy. He's got to get control of the ball and where it's going. If he throws it right down the middle at 100 miles an hour, they're Major League Baseball players. They're going to hit it over the wall. And he's got to learn how to field his position because he had a grounder to Joey Votto. Joey Votto flipped it up to him, and he couldn't catch it. Jennifer, what's up? Welcome to the show. All right, more Bengals talk. Kyle Rudolph, since 2017, 200 catches, only two drops. But he does say he's interested in signing with the Patriots. Really? I did not know that, which is kind of surprising. I understand it's Bill Belichick and everything, but who's the quarterback? Who would be throwing the ball to Kyle Rudolph, and why would he be interested in going there? Why would he be interested in coming to his hometown team, you know? That's interesting. All right, Crown, get back to the Reds here. I guess I'm jumping back and forth. Yeah, he had to pitch it every year. Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. I wasn't complaining about it. I mean, I like that his velocity was there, and he looked nice and healthy. He's not going to be up in the majors this year. He needs to stay in the minors and make sure he gets his control there. Because if he can get pinpoint control, dude, we got ourselves a really solid starting pitcher. And that's the thing with the Reds. Honestly, even though we lost Trevor Bauer, I'm not that worried about the starting rotation. You got Gray and Castillo at the top of the rotation. And then I think Maui's your third. And I really like TJ and Lorenzen as your 4-5 or, you know, vice versa. If you go with those, I think our pitching staff is going to be fine. I'm concerned, like I think everybody else is with the offense. You think he needs to be here, Crown? Why would he need to be here? Sorry, dude, that makes no sense. Like you just said, he hasn't pitched in a year. So let him go down the minor leagues, work on his craft, get better so he doesn't come up here and get rocked like he did last night. So no, I don't agree with you. He does not need to be here. He needs to be in the minor leagues and get better, because like you just said, he hasn't pitched in a year. So anyway, Tommy Green had velocity, but the issues was what we talked about in yesterday's show. No solid secondary pitch. Yeah, exactly. And he tried to throw it a couple times. It just didn't go anywhere. And I mean, it's a short sample size. I mean, it's one inning. I mean, and they had this new thing in spring training, which I don't know if they're going to keep it or not, where, you know, the pitcher gets in trouble and he pitches, you know, 20, 25 pitches or whatever. And then the manager can say, all right, we're just going to end the inning. And that's what they ended up doing on Green last night. All right, Hunter Green's – this is from Nick. Hunter Green's arm talent is there. Effortless velocity. Look calm for a 21-year-old throwing his first five pitches since – or his first live pitches since 2018. Exactly. And Crown, you're saying we're wasting his year. No. Wasting his year, we would be bringing him up when he's not ready. The Reds have done that way too many times to players. No. This guy is too talented and too good to rush him. And the thing is, where are you going to put him, Crown? Seriously. Where would you put him? You're gonna start him? You're not going to start him. You got guys who've started way more major league games than he has. You're not going to put him in the bullpen because they want him to be a starter. So, sorry, dude. What you're saying, I love you, but it doesn't make any sense. You're not going to – and he's 21 years old. I mean, you don't – it's just like – yeah, exactly. Like Nick says, force a 21-year-old into major league in zero sets. Yeah, it makes no sense, dude. There's no reason to force him, especially he just had Tommy John surgery. You just said he hasn't pitched in a year. That was his first live pitching since 2018. No, you do not bring him up under any circumstance. Because one, there's no place to put him, you know? So, no, just put him down there in Louisville. Let him pitch every 5 days and bring him up. Maybe it's September if he does good, do September call-ups. But you don't need to bring him up now. I don't agree with you. Other teams do it all the time. So? Who cares? If other teams jump off a bridge, you're going to jump off too? The Reds got to do what's best for Hunter Green. And what's best for him is to be in the minor leagues and develop his secondary pitches. He doesn't have them. Look, Chapman, he can throw 105 miles an hour. If it's straight, anybody can hit it. Green can throw 100, 203. If it's straight and he doesn't have any other pitchers, they can hit it. They're Major League Baseball players, dude. So, no, I don't know. That's... your argument doesn't make any sense. You're going to do it because everybody else does. Put him at shortstop. There you go, Dean. he was a full-time player. Uncle Tony, what's up, brother? Hey, the live link's on. You can jump on if you want to. Welcome back. Haven't seen you in a while. All right, here. Nick, other teams put players that are ready or close to ready the majors, but Green is nowhere near ready. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think he proved that last night. His arm is major league ready. His arm and his composure is major league ready, but his pitches are not, because you have to be able to pitch in the major leagues. You know, you can't just come up there and fire it 100 miles an hour and expect good results, because most, like I said, they're Major League Baseball players. There's a reason they're there. They can hit a fastball. I don't care if it's, 200 miles an hour. They can figure out how to time it up and hit it. So, like I said, there's no reason at all to rush Hunter Green up here. There's absolutely no reason to do it. We have pitching. Our starting pitching, I think, is going to be fine, even if we lost Trevor Bauer, which we did lose Trevor Bauer. Our bullpen, I think, is going to be pretty good. You know, our biggest thing is trying to figure out shortstop. Now, like Dean said, maybe put him at shortstop, but I don't think they're going to do that. But, you know, it's and I just don't get your argument. Your argument is everybody does it. Like, that's not really an argument. You have to do what's best for the player. And what's best for Hunter Green and best for the Reds is him to stay down in the minor leagues, finish a minor league season at least. Like I said, if he does good, maybe you bring him up in September, but I would not bring him up on a major league roster at all. Now, speaking of the Reds, see Trent Rosecrans tweeted out Now, the Reds are on TV again tonight, so we can watch them on MLB Network at 8 o'clock. They're facing the Los Angeles Dodgers. We can get our first look at D. Strange Gordon at shortstop. Now, this is the position that has been the most conversation in spring training, is who's going to play shortstop. Now, if you guys watch the show, I've said my opinion where I think they should put Eugenio Suarez at shortstop, move Moose to third, Senzel to second. That opens up the outfield. You have Akiyama in center, DeWink in left, and Castellanos in right. I know it's not a great defensive thing, but this team isn't very good at defense anyway. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think it's either be Kyle Farmer or D. Strange Gordon. It's weird saying two names. He's not D. Gordon. He's D. Strange Gordon. So we get a chance to look at him tonight. And check out, because, I mean, he came up as a shortstop. And I think he's actually played the least amount of time at shortstop, because when he was with the Dodgers, they had a shortstop and they moved him to second base. And then he got moved to the outfield and different things like that. So he says he's a shortstop. Barry Larkin says he can play shortstop. I mean, to be honest, I really do think he's the most athletic guy to do it out of either Farmer or D. Gordon. And most likely, the mad scientist, David Bell, is not going to name a starting shortstop. He's going to be able to mix and match and do whatever he wants with matchups and all that stuff. My honest opinion is, I don't technically think we're going to have a starting shortstop. I think we're going to have Farmer or Strange Gordon in there. Say D. I was calling D. Your Farmer D is going to be at shortstop, in my opinion. And we're getting closer and closer to Reds opening day. I'm getting very excited about it. And like I said, some Reds fans have jumped on here and said the Reds are going to be terrible and this is a rebuilding year and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm not sure what you call rebuilding year. This is not a rebuilding year. We have a chance to win. I mean, we really do. We have a very good chance to win this division. What'd you say, Nick? David Bell. You mean the computer? Is that what you call him? You call him the computer? I call him the mad scientist, dude, because he drives me nuts. I've said this before. I liked the hire because, he comes from a good baseball family. You know, he's a Cincinnati guy. I was pretty happy with it, but the way he manages drives me absolutely insane. Like the whole Shogo Akiyama thing does not make it. What he did to Shogo last year does not make any sense to me. The man is coming over here from a completely different country. He signed into a multi-year deal to play the outfield and lead off. And he didn't even play him the first couple games. I mean, and then when he did, he batted him, ninth, eighth? It just, that doesn't make, and I think that's messed Shogo up. You know, I really do. And this is where I say, because we have too many outfielders, you know. We have four starting outfielders, technically, if Senzel is playing center field. If you move Senzel to second, Gino to short, Moose to third, then all the outfielders can play. Shogo can play center field every day. DeWing can play left, and Castellanos play right. And no, I wouldn't say our defense would be great and it might hurt us, but with the analytics that Bell loves to use, you know, like I say, yeah, he lies way too heavy on analytics. It has no feel. Exactly. That's my biggest problem with what he's doing. That's why I'm kind of surprised that they haven't tried to do this, because, well, analytics would say, you know, you shift over here and you shift over there and stuff. So that's why, to me, if they shifted every other freaking pitch or every other batter, you don't need a great defensive shortstop. And I think they could get away with putting Gino there. But we'll see. Brad, what's up, man? Okay, maybe Bell will suit up and play shortstop, LOL. Definitely would be a revolving door. Yeah, that's where I think it's going to be at. And I mean, Gino could get a shot there. I mean, he did take grounders. You know, so he's trying to show them he can play shortstop, which he came up as a shortstop. You know, now I know when he played, people on rounding Reds and rounding home and rounding, I get it right, rounding third and heading for home told me he had like 19 errors. So, I mean, I didn't say it'd be a great defensive spot, but the biggest problem with the Reds last year, they couldn't hit. Now, the thing is, too, lots of these guys had career low years, batting average-wise. So you got to think they're going to, as Chris Welch would say, is hit to the back of their baseball card. So you got to think, at least hope, that they're going to be better, you know, and hit closer to what their career average is. Because Moose was lower. Vada was lower. Castillo was lower. So that's one thing you got to look at, too, that hopefully, you know, they would hit more to what their career average is than what they did. Let's see here. Yeah, Dean. Yeah, let's keep putting pitchers in left field. Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, Jared Lorenzen, That's the football player passed away. Michael Lorenzen, he is the perfect David Bell player. Him and Kyle Farnsworth, dude, Kyle Farmer, those guys can play everywhere. That's a perfect perfect player for David Bell. He can put them wherever they want. If Kyle Farmer even pitched last year a couple of times, you guys remember. All right, Dean, you got a question here. Do we bring back the hitting coach? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We bring back the hitting. We bring back everybody. All the whole coaching staff. No, from when we went 22 scoreless innings, we changed nothing except our GM. Nick Kroll is our GM now. But as far as the coaching staff goes, it's exactly the same as it was last year. So I'm hoping they come up with a better plan for getting on base, because that's one of the biggest problems I had with this team. They don't do any professional at-bats. They don't get on base. This is last year. Now, hopefully it changes this year. They don't, you know, if a guy's on you know, second base, they don't hit the ball, you know, in the outfield to try to drive a run in. They hit the ball to try to hit a home run. Or you don't hit behind runners. They don't do basic baseball to me. It just seems like they're up there and swinging for the fences, you know, and I don't care what the analytics say. They've been playing baseball for over 100 years. That doesn't work all the time. You got to be able to move guys over, get on, get them over, get them in, as George Grand would say. But he's right. You have to do that. You can't keep just relying on the home run. And if it's a solo home run, it's one run. It's really not that, it's really not that big of a deal anymore. It could almost be an inning crusher, you know? So just say you go up, you first two guys swing and miss and strike out. The third guy hits a home run. Next guy comes up, strikes out, inning over. They're only down one run, or the Reds are only up one run. So it's not like they're like, all right, we're in this. But if you start off the inning and you get a guy on base and then you bunt him over and he's on second, then you move him over to third base and another guy gets on, you know, and you keep moving the line, that creates chaos, that creates pressure on the pitcher. And that's what good baseball teams do. They give you professional at-bats. They work the count. And this team was awful at working the count last year. So that's just, I'm usually very optimistic, and I am optimistic. I do think we have a shot of making the playoffs and winning the division. But to me, they got to change what they've done the last 2 years under David Bell. And I don't know if I see that happening, because it's the same offense in 2019 that they had in 2020. It's the same philosophy anyway. So that's what I'm not sold on David Bell. I'm not sold on the hitting coach. I'm not sold on anything as far as their offensive philosophy goes. Nick says a bunch of guys that Adam Dunn approaches last year. Yeah. And Adam Dunn, man, when he first came up, He actually had a pretty good on-base percentage, you know, but then he just got into that's why the other juggernaut manager, Bob Boone, put him at leadoff, because he'd get on base. Yeah, let's put a guy who hit 40 home runs at leadoff. That makes a lot of sense. All right, Brad, what's up? David Bell will have more games to experiment with this year. He needs to let the players play their positions and get comfortable and hopefully swing the bats better. Yeah. They'll definitely have more games than last year. It's not going to be a sprint. And the thing is, too, I said this last year, since last year's only a 60-game season, they got to get off to a good start. And winning teams, honestly, if they get off to a hot start, it's a good thing for the season. I mean, look, remember 2019, what the Reds lost, what, their first eight? I think they won opening day. And then they lost the next eight or something like that. And that pretty much ended their season. And they had no shot. Last year, they got off to a little better start, but still not as good as we wanted. The only consistent time that they had last year was September. I think they won 6 out of 7 series. And one thing I want to say, my opinion, the reason I was doing it, Shogo Akiyama was leading off and getting on base. His on-base percentage was through the roof during that period. That has a lot to do with it. You got to get guys to get on, and the pitcher's got it. If the pitcher's thinking about somebody at first and the next thing, where to go with the ball, if the ball is hit and all this stuff, it changes. It puts pressure on them. This team did not put pressure on the pitcher, the fielders. I mean, if you're hitting fly balls every day, you know, they're either going to go out or get caught or you strike out. The defense is not on their toes, you know, against you. So they don't have to do anything. You make it way too easy on them. And that's what I want this team to not make anything easy on them, on the opposing team. Nothing should be young. Every at-bat, you should grind out. Every at-bat, you should fight for every inch of that plate, every inch of the base, and fight for everything. And there's too many times where it just they looked lost last year. Now, I know Moose said it best last week, where he came to the team, and he said normally, you know, the guys can go hang out after the games, go out to eat or whatever, and he can get to know guys. Well, they couldn't do that last year because of the pandemic and everything. And hopefully this year, you know, by the season starts, hopefully things will be opened up, because I know Florida's open. I think Texas is completely open, so hopefully Ohio will be opening up here soon. And that'll help with just getting the chemistry of the team together. You know, if you're just waking up, like, all right, I'll put it to you this way. If we wake up every day and we just go to work and we go home, we don't do anything, go to sleep, wake up next day, go right back to work, and you just keep doing that over and over and over. It's a vicious cycle that if you're playing baseball or not, man, after a while, it just wears you out. And that team, to me, when they went to playoff game or playoff series against Atlanta, looked wore out. They just looked done. You know, they had no jump, no energy, no nothing. I mean, they had so much energy, and they worked so hard to make it to the playoffs, to win 6 out of 7 series in September. That looks like they spent it all. They didn't have anything left for the playoffs. So, this has been a really long rant about the Reds. But hopefully, like I said, I do think they have a shot of making the playoffs. And who knows, if they're in it in August, September, maybe they'll pick a shortstop up. Who knows? I really do think that's their plan if they're in there. But we'll see. Now, as you can see, I'm wearing my Columbus Blue Jackets stuff today because, well, I am a hockey fan. I might be the only hockey fan on this show or watching me right now. But the Blue Jackets won last night 4-1 over the Detroit Red Wings. Now, this is good because they finally scored. They scored 4-1. 4 goals. I mean, they've had so many games this year where they've scored 1 goal, no goals. It's been a struggle. Now, I thought they would get a little more offensive jump, especially on their power play with the addition of Patrick Laine. It hasn't really happened the way I thought it would or most Blue Jacket fans thought it would. But they got to win, and hopefully Tortorella will get them going and figure out what he has to do to make them tick, to get this thing clicking and rolling. Now, tomorrow, you guys, it's a very special show. I'm going to have the son of the guy who should be in the Hall of Fame. Like I said, it's a travesty that he's not. It's Ken Riley Jr. His father, Ken Riley Sr., should be in the Hall of Fame. It's a complete travesty that he's not. Now, his son will be joining me tomorrow live at 5:30. And I got some interesting stats here that I want to bring up that I didn't even know about him. And I thought this is some pretty cool stuff. Now, all right, he had Ken Riley Sr. 65 interceptions, which I've said, that's fifth all-time still to this day in NFL history. He's had 5 defensive touchdowns, 8 multiple game interceptions. He picked off some guy named Broadway Joe Namath 3 times in one game in 1976, 3-time All-Pro, and just one of 26 NFL cornerbacks to play in over 200 NFL games. I mean, that's a pretty good stat right there. I mean, I always keep banging the drum that he's fifth all-time still in interceptions. And I think his last year, 1983, he was All-Pro. So these are reasons that I'm very excited to discuss with his son tomorrow and how us Bengals fans are trying to get Ken Riley into the Hall of Fame. Him, we got to get the Kens in. Ken Riley, Ken Anderson have got to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, hopefully, I mean, unfortunately, Ken Riley has passed away. Hopefully, we can get Ken Anderson in there before he passes away. But I'm not wishing ill will on anybody, but this has got to happen because we got to get this dam to break. For some reason, there's this big just wall of Bengal players in the Hall of Fame. And there's one little crack we got through, which is Anthony Munoz. But we need to get a bigger crack and just bust it open because there's so many guys that the Bengals could get in the Hall of Fame and deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Willie Anderson's one. He's getting close, but he should already be in the Hall of Fame. And I mean, in his generation, I think him or Jonathan Ogden are the two best right tackles of the generation that they played in. Ogden's in. Why isn't Willie in? You know? I mean, you can look at Isaac Curtis. He should be in. And there's so many guys that could be in, should be in, hopefully will be in someday. I mean, Corey Dillon, he's got cleats in the Hall of Fame from, you know, breaking the single game rushing record. So it's just, it's a travesty that there's only one Bengal in there and we need to fix that. So I've said this multiple times on the show. There's a petition going around. I think Bengal Jim, I know it's up on his page. It's up on my Strawberry's page and it's also in Houday Nation. But a petition for both Kens, Ken Riley and Ken Anderson, to go sign to try to get them into the Hall of Fame. Now, Bearcats, I don't think I got to this yet. They have an extra game that we did not, well, because the SMU game got canceled. So they were able to add another one. Let me bring that up here in a second, and I will tell you when it is. All right. It is scheduled for Vanderbilt for Thursday, March 4th at Fifth Third Arena. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. Tickets are available. We all should go there. We thought this last game was be the last one, but we got one more. So hopefully tomorrow night, watch my show and then go to the Bearcat game. Now, another thing that was kind of cool, David DeJulius kind of explained why he was stepping down from the Bearcat program. And that also is, I posted in Bearcat Ruckus and on the Sports with Strawberry Ice page. You guys can go there and check it out. It's a good read. He's a very good guy. Very, it's a good read to find out what these players have gone through. And like I said, they are young men. You know, they're 18 to 21, 22-year-old guys. They came there to play college basketball, have fun, go to school, and play basketball. Well, this year, as I was saying with the Reds, you know, they couldn't do anything. Now, the Reds players are older, so they might be more mature to handle it. But some of these guys, it's a mental grind on them because they have to get COVID tested once or twice a day just to be able to go practice or go play every single day. It's like you're on a hamster wheel and you don't know what it's like until it happens to you. So you can't judge anybody for how they're handling this. But it's a very good read. I think you guys should check it out. And it's just, I think it's a good insight because some Bearcat fans kind of jumped to conclusions and wanted to hurry up and blame Brannon, which is utterly ridiculous to blame Brannon for players opting out because they're concerned with COVID. They're mentally exhausted from COVID, you know, of what they've had to go through. And for what the Bearcats have done since the COVID break is unbelievable. And I think all the credit should go to John Brannon. I think you guys are banging on him way too much. They've lost two games. Yeah, they got blown out by Houston. Houston's a pretty good team, you know. But yeah, look at this way. I'm still holding out hope. The American tournament starts next week. I think it's like, yeah, next week. The Bearcats got a first round bye, which is good. You don't have to play as many games. Crazier things that happen. They could catch lightning in a bottle and go on a run and win this whole thing. You know, they could. I do believe, I said this when we're talking to Melvin Levitt last week, that I didn't think they could beat Houston, but I'm going to change my mind on that. The way these kids are playing, it's going to be really hard because they don't have a deep bench. They're all freshmen and sophomores, but that's the thing. They're freshmen and sophomores. They don't know any different. You know, they're almost too young to really let it bother them, I guess is the thing. So it could be really, really interesting and really, really cool. Just think if the Bearcats went on a run and actually got into the NCAA tournament and kept our streak going would be unbelievably awesome. And it'd be so much fun to watch. And I have said this multiple times that Champ Week and the NCAA tournament are my favorite times of year. And it's really going to be weird if the Bearcats are not in there, but we'll have to find out. Let's see here. Thomas, what's going on? Welcome to the show, brother.
What's up?
Not much. Just sitting there doing a live YouTube show.
I watched the, what was it, yesterday? Last night, the Reds?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was impressed, kind of, actually. That late second, you know, what we call it, comeback?
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good comeback. I mean, I honestly work in the middle of the night, so I had it on. The TV on in my bedroom, and I fell asleep. So I woke up and I saw they won. I knew they came back.
Yeah.
But what was the best part of the comeback? What were you impressed with?
Well, like it seemed like we got a bat in and then it started clicking and you know everybody was on you know. It seemed like that's once good. We hit one, like it got everybody. You know what I mean?
Well, that's kind of what I was saying is once you get guys on base and you keep it rolling, it rubs off on players. Now, the thing is, I wish I could have stayed. I'm going to try to stay up tonight and watch it. I don't have to be at work as early. I want to see professional at-bats. That's what I've been saying. I want to see professional at-bats. I want to see guys work counts. That is such a big – that's a bigger deal than people realize, I think. Because the more you work a count, the more the pitcher – throws pitches, the sooner you get him out of the game. So that's a key to it, too. Work the count, get on base. If somebody's on first, hit the ball to the you know, get out in the gaps to move into second. Bunt, you know, hit and run, hit behind the runners. That's the stuff I'm hoping to see. But David Bell, I call him the mad scientist, really hasn't had an offense like that in the 2 years he's been the manager. So I'm hoping to see that tonight. Like I said, they're on tonight at 8 o'clock and we can see.
Does
Morgan at short side. Good, Thomas.
There was a pitcher because we went to like 8 different pitchers last night.
Right.
But I don't remember his name, but he impressed me a little bit.
Was that later on in the game?
Yeah, he was. He was like, I don't know, like sixth inning or something. I don't remember his name, but I don't know. I'm not gonna be able to think of his name. There were so many pitchers going on.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the funny thing is, it actually should be easier to keep track of who's in the games this spring training, because there's not as many minor league guys as there normally is. I mean, they're usually like two, three deep in the dugout, and it's not like that this year. So it should be, we shouldn't be seeing too many 99s on the jersey, because that used to be the thing. Oh, you're 99, you're probably not making the team if you're wearing number 99. But I mean, actually, I saw Kevin Flavor Frage, he signed with the Pirates, and I saw him wearing, I think he's wearing 99 or 98. I don't know if he's going to stick with that number throughout the year or not, but he's not 21.
Is 99 a bad number?
No, it's just back in the day when I was a kid, nobody wore 99.
If it is, all the Pirates should wear it.
Just back in the day when I was a kid, nobody wore 99. That wasn't a baseball number. It was more of a football or a hockey number.
I was impressed. I'm upset. I'll be right. I was very, very impressed. Like I didn't, I thought, what, let me see. It was like inning. I don't know. We were down in, I think we were still down in the sixth. And it was like, and I was like, oh, here we go again. We're going to lose. Like, I wish we could just, here's what I was thinking. I wish we could just pull one out. And they surprised me, and they did.
Yeah. I mean, they, like, everybody needs to take the spring training stuff with a grain of salt, because people were freaking out that we hadn't scored that many runs in the first two games. And some Reds fans are like, oh, here we go again. And I mean, I'm big on, we got to score, but it's spring training, man. I mean, it's good that they came back. The thing is, I want to see the guys who are going to be on the team. Those are the ones that I want to see what they're doing. And that's, they're the ones that got to have their professional bats. They're the ones that have got to come out and pitch well. They're the ones that got to, step up and get their work in so we can have a successful season this year.
I'm kind of worried about the pitching, honestly. I know that sounds crazy to say, right? But
yeah.
We lost Bauer, so.
See, I'm not worried about it, because we still got Gray. We still got Castillo. Tyrer Mallie's going to be our third pitcher. I think it'll be fine. I like TJ Antone. I'd like to see him in the rotation, and Michael Lorenzen. I don't know if that's what the mad scientist has, but those are the two guys I would like to see in the rotation. And our bullpen, I think, is going to be fine. Losing Iglesias and Bradley hurts, but I think we're going to be all right. I'm not really too worried about the pitching. I'm honestly more concerned about shortstop and our offense, to be honest. But my biggest concern is David Bell. I mean, what is he going to do? That's, and people say the manager doesn't have that much to do with it. Well, in baseball, it does, especially the way David Bell manages. He has a lot to do with how these guys play, when they play, where they play, with him moving stuff around so much. He has a lot to do with it. So, most times managers put, some of the same nine guys out there, but not David Bell.
Let's see who I can't believe this. How am I blanking on his name? Joey Votto. I don't know how I just blanked on that guy's name. He's like ancient.
Wait. You forgot Joey Votto?
Yeah, I got Joey Votto. Sorry, I got like Alzheimer's all of a sudden.
Thomas, you're too young to start having memory loss already, buddy.
I know, right? But I don't know. Maybe I'm just being delusional, but I feel he in spring training should did a little better than what he did. Maybe it's just me, but
he always gets off to slow starts. In his entire career, he's never gotten off to a great start. So I'm not really looking for him to get to a great off to a great start, because he never has. Now the thing I'm looking for him is his new swing and his new approach. Of it sounds from what I've listened to him and what I've deciphered, it sounds like he's trying to simplify his approach and not think so much, which I think is great. That's where I think last year Votto overthought. I think Joey Votto overthinks stuff anyway, but I think he really overthought if he's just swing or not. I mean, how many times did he check swing and all that stuff? And I watched him last night, and I didn't see that. I saw a guy just seeing the ball and taking a rip at it. And that's what Joey Votto did more when he had his better years. I mean, he still was selective in his pitches, but once he made a decision to swing at it, he swung. And that's where I think, at least it seems like I said, I only watched one game, and going by what he's talking about, it seems like that's what he's trying to do this year, because he's not choking up on the bat anymore. He's standing more upright. He's trying to get more power. You know, he wants to get more power, but Joey Votto's still going to get on base. He's got too good of an eye not to get on base. He's still going to walk a lot. I think he is more concentrated in trying to drive the ball now. And like last year, he was trying to just get on base. The on base percentage to him was more important than driving the ball.
Totally
and
agree.
Like I said, he's got too good of an eye. He's going to get on base. He's going to get walks. He's going to get that. But we need him to barrel up the ball and drive it. And I think that's what he's trying to do this year. And thing is, if you hit the ball, if you're hitting line drives, you don't have to try to hit the ball out of the ballpark. It'll go, especially if these guys that throw the ball 100 miles an hour. It'll go. So I'm not worried about that aspect. And I just like the approach that it looks like he's taking. Now, Crown here says Lucas Sims should be the closer. I'm cool with that, but Crown, I guarantee you David Bell is not going to have a closer. He's going to want to mix and match. And David Bell doesn't want to have anybody set anywhere. You know, one thing I've learned from David Bell the last couple of years, he almost wants to prove how smart he is. I think that's more important to him than winning baseball games, you know, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out. All right, Thomas, TC, it's about almost 6:30. I think I'm going to roll on out of here, but I appreciate you jumping on the show
with me. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem, dude. Talk to you later. All right, guys. Like I said, it's about 6:30. I think we're going to start rolling on out of here. I appreciate you guys joining me. I've been going solo the last couple of days because Jeremy D has been busy doing his job. I'm like, man. I told him, I said, we just need to start making money doing this so we can just do this as a job. That would be great. I would love that. But let's get to the Facebook groups that allow me to live stream. And I appreciate every single one of you guys. Hootay Nation, that's where my boy Tommy's from, who's joined the show a lot here lately since Jeremy hasn't been able to. Ohio State Bucknuts, Cincinnati Reds, rounding third and heading for home. Bearcat Ruckus, the Ice Bar, which the Ice Bar is just a show page. And do me a favor, if you guys want to join the Ice Bar, you have to answer the questions. I keep getting people wanting to join it, and I have no idea if you even know what the group is. So I have questions. Answer them. You know, you don't answer them, probably not going to let you in because I don't know what you're coming into the group for. I don't want you selling stuff. I don't want you causing problems because it's a fun group. It's a show page. Just hang out at the virtual bar. I'm trying to keep all the thugs out. you can follow me on my social media platforms. They are all under Sports of Strawberry Ice. Facebook, I have 582 likes. I'm followed by 624 people. I appreciate that. Let's keep that rolling. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and me and Jeremy do some silly TikToks when we're bored and we put them up there. So it's kind of fun to check them out. I'll be pulling off the sound here later on tonight, putting on the podcast. Like, rate, review. Give me a 5-star review. I'm on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iTunes, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. I am there. Make sure you subscribe to those. I'd love to get my podcast views up a little bit more. So if you guys are driving around, you missed any part of the show, and you want to listen to it tomorrow while you're at work, check it out. Put it on the podcast and give me some good reviews. That'd be great. Now, YouTubers, the main people. 848 subscribers. That is awesome. I appreciate every single one of you as always. Trying to get that to 1,000 as fast as we can. Getting so close to 1,000. We're creeping up there. We'll get there eventually. Tomorrow night, Thursday, Ken Riley Jr. will be on the show discussing his father's, I call it, Hall of Fame career. Should be a Hall of Fame career. As Bengal fans, we need to get behind him, push him over the top to the Hall of Fame, get him there, get Ken Anderson there. and hopefully get Willie and Corey and everybody else that needs to be in that war, the orange and black. And other than that, as my boy, Jeremy D, always says, remember one thing and one thing only. You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati. So act like it. Hoo day. And that's your sports, baby. See ya.